Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Ringside Rundown Podcast. My name is Eric Vasquez, and joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is the rock to my sock in this connection. She is the animal to my hawk, the Sean to my Triple H. She is the best tag team partner I could ever ask for in podcasting. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on?
Oof, that's a good intro there. I don't know if I can can't top that one, but
I'm gonna try to every week now.
That's good. It was a good start. Yeah, not doing too bad on this fine Wednesday. I almost said Tuesday. Wednesday evening. We got some stuff to talk about. Unfortunately, I saw some spoilers from Blood and Guts already, but that's gonna have to wait until next week. But yeah, I don't want to spoil anything for you. You said no spoilers, so.
No spoilers. I got it recording on the DVR because I'm definitely interested in seeing the main event, Blood and Guts, a.k.a. War Games. Two rings, one solid steel cage, and the debut of one Kota Ibushi. He's definitely probably going to do some crazy, insane stuff with that cage, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too, but unfortunately we will have to wait till next week to talk about that.
Yeah. But today's going to be a little bit of a easier show. The last couple episodes we've been having have been going extra long, 2.5 hours almost, but that's okay with us. We'd like to dive deep and we'd like to get all the questions answered. But again, this week is going to be a little bit of a easier episode to digest. Nothing too crazy. We got a smaller batch of questions, but they're good nonetheless. And for those that are new here, first, thank you for listening to this podcast. This is a pro wrestling podcast where Shay and I answer questions sent in by our loyal listeners. And at the end of the show, we'll let you know where you can send in some questions of your own if you have any and you want to join in on the fun. But again, this episode is going to be pretty much an easier, digestible episode. Hopefully, we won't go 2.5 hours. We're not banking on that. We're just going to go and have fun with this. So let's see what we got up on the docket.
All right, let's get into it. So we're going to start with Jeff's questions first. And this one, I knew we were going to get a couple questions about, so it's a good start to it. Jeff would like to know why put the women's tag titles on Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville this early. And on top of that, do you think they have some sort of push in store for Raquel Rodriguez? Yeah, I will say I was not expecting them to win at all. I was shocked. But I'm glad that Sonya finally got a championship in WWE because God knows she's paid her dues to get it. Yeah,
she's definitely put in the work.
You can't even say the timing would be surprising because just the timing and just the luck with these belts, it's just they're cursed. We've said it before and that it's just one team cannot hold on to them long enough, and it's just so weird. But I'm praying that changes now because you got him back on a heel team. They're more suited for a heel team because then you have the good guys chasing after them. But I hope I'm right because I am just so tired of every other week they have somebody new holding them, and it's just it doesn't help with the importance of them because you're like, okay, well, if this team had them 1 week, and then 2 weeks later another team has them, they're not really that important. So, hopefully this is the start of a change because it can't get much worse.
Yeah, I read a stat that said this is the third tag team in 3 weeks to hold those titles.
Yeah.
So that is a little bit concerning, but I'm also reading, and these are just rumors. I don't have any sources. This is just stuff I read on the internet that hopefully Chelsea and Sonya can be more of an anchor for the tag division and actually go on a run with these things. I don't know how true that is because the track record, as you mentioned, with these tag titles is pretty shoddy. But again, like I said on Twitter, I'm excited because I'm a fan of Chelsea Green's character. She's very entertaining. Like she gets the entertainment part. Yeah, she gets the entertainment part of it. The you know, three strikes you're out basketball thing was hilarious.
Yeah. That's
never gonna go away. But yeah, they make a more solid team. Like you said, Sonya Deville's been at this for a very long time, even as a backstage authority figure on TV, you know, back to wrestling. So it's good for her to get some gold. And again, I'm just hoping that this can be like an anchor for this division. They can kind of figure it out and actually let somebody go on a run with these things. If you're not going to let anybody go on a run with them, just forget about it.
Yeah, you're not going to. I mean, you won't really be breaking my heart if you get rid of the titles. You'll be breaking my heart with the fact that you guys dropped the ball on them that badly. But I'll believe the run if I see it. We'll see what happens. I hope those rumors are right, because they need a decent run to have any sort of relevance at this point. So please.
This needs something, you know. Hopefully, like I said, the good thing about it is it's supposed to be defended across all three brands. So that gives them a wide variety of tag teams that they can work with, which they should have been doing for a long time now.
And from I'm sure we'll have a question about this, maybe, from what we've seen with NXT lately, I feel like that would be a good thing for them to go around to the other brands and, you know, defend them like, you know, they're supposed to, and not just say they're supposed to and never do it. So, as far as Raquel Rodriguez, I mean, how many times have we heard it before, though, that she's getting this push, she's getting whatever, this, and the other thing? We've talked about it before. I'm personally not a fan of her. It's just kind of like, whatever. I'm sure at some point they're going to have to actually give her a push, and what better time than now? Because why not, right? Like, what else is she going to do?
Yeah. I mean, she has all the characteristics of what WWE likes to put on TV. She's attractive. She's big. She's strong. She's powerful. She has a lot of power-based moves. I don't know what's missing, though. Like, there's something there that's missing.
Personality.
Maybe a little bit of personality. You know, they it kind of shines a little bit when she gets angry, you know? So it's just
it's the personality.
It's at an 8 when everybody's at a 10, you know? You know, and then again, like, she's been relegated to these tag team roles for the majority of her career. You know, where it's kind of hard to when you go singles, you kind of have to get over on your own. You don't have a partner to rely on. Like I said, she has all the characteristics that people who are in charge of the WWE look for. Yeah. It's just maybe the connection. And not only that, but like, everybody around her is getting hot. Like, Liv's getting hot. Rhea obviously is hot. Like, you go to the other side, there's the whole situation with Asuka, Bianca, and Charlotte. So it's like everybody's kind of striking. And it's good for women's wrestling because there's multiple segments, you know, and everybody's getting TV time. On the flip side, on the more positive side, I guess it's good because it gives Rhea an opponent. Like, that's kind of what's been missing.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, like a believable opponent, like, size, strength-wise. Yeah.
No, yeah, but she hasn't really defended the title. Like, she's had those squash matches against Natalya. And, I mean, the last one was okay, but that's about it.
Give us something. Like, I get that she's in Judgment Day, but we need more.
Yeah, it's kind of like her... And that's the crazy thing, is that just her presence in the Judgment Day is enough to keep her hot with the crowd, you know. The whole situation with Dominic and everything like that, like, that's a hot act right now, you know. So, but again, it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's like, we haven't really seen her defend the title all that often.
No, not at all. And it would be interesting because there is history between her and Raquel. I think the problem, at least with Raquel on the main roster, is the personality, because it worked in NXT because she was this no-nonsense, kind of just like kick you in the teeth kind of character. Up in the main roster, they tried to pull the whole smile and wave, I'm just happy to be here, like, gimmick or whatever, and that does not work for somebody like her at all. It just looks stupid, it looks phony. I can see it threw it a mile away, like... That, I think, is more or less the problem. But, yeah, I just... Maybe this is finally her time for the push. Who knows? But if it'll give Rhea a challenger, a decent challenger, all for it. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
And speaking of the women's division, what happens to Liv after this? Sure, she didn't look too weak taking the loss 2-on-1, but it feels like WWE doesn't know what to do with her.
Yeah, it's crazy because when she came out and attacked Rhea later on that night on Raw, like, the crowd was going crazy. Almost to, yeah. Like, there was a couple people that are like, maybe they should be going with Liv versus Rhea rather than mm-hmm. Raquel versus Rhea.
And there's way more history main roster wise with Liv and Rhea than there is Raquel and Rhea, because Raquel and Rhea had their stuff in NXT, but that was pretty much it. If you want the main roster stuff, Liv and Rhea's got it right there.
Yeah, there's definitely that history. But I mean, like I said just a little while ago, like, this can all be part of the plans down the road, which can solidify Rhea Reigns' title reign. Rhea Ripley's title reign. Why did I say Rhea Reigns? That's crazy. it could solidify her title reign. You know, so eventually they're gonna get to Liv and Rhea. I think maybe they didn't realize that the crowd would be so into it once Liv attacked Rhea. Because they were so, like, they were putting that egg in the basket of, okay, we're going to give the push to Raquel. But on the flip side of that is, like, she got her knee attacked. And the reason her and Liv lost the titles is because Raquel couldn't hold her weight because of her injured knee. Mm-hmm. So are we supposed to believe by, like, next week her knee is magically healed? You know, yeah, like, what's the situation with that? Because, I mean, that's a big thing with them, because that's how they lost the titles, because she couldn't hold up with her knee. So I wonder if they're going to incorporate that into the story of the build up to this match.
It would make sense. It would make a lot of sense. Hell, even if you want Al, maybe not the best idea making it a triple threat, like Liv and Raquel and Rhea, but
yeah,
and it'd be a little too crazy. But yeah, I hope they don't pull that, like, where you're like, mm-hmm. oh, you could barely stand on that knee last week, and now all of a sudden you can magically walk on it. Like, okay.
Yeah. So. Another interesting thing for Liv would be, why not sort of turn her pseudo heel and have her in a program with Raquel, you know, because Raquel's knee was the reason they lost the titles, and Liv's just kind of tired of losing and kind of being the scapegoat and just kind of floating. As the question said, they might not know what to do with her, so they can turn around and use that as ammo to kind of give her something to do, make sure she's still on TV, because, you know, she does make the product better when she's on TV.
Yeah, that could be a good one too. She could finally just have too much and snap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be a good one too. They have a couple different opportunities routes they can go with this. So it's gonna be very interesting to see which way they do it. Just as long as it gives Rhea a challenger, I don't care at this point. Just give her somebody, please. All right, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. At this point, why bother keeping the women's tag titles in WWE? There are no stable teams, and it only seems to be for people they have no plans for. At this point, it almost feels like they should be done away for a singles mid-card title. I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I think you hate saying it, because I feel like we said, give Sonya and Chelsea a chance, and if they still can't do something, then we can be like, all right, just get rid of it. But I want to see what they can do with Sonya and Chelsea first before I say, yeah, let's just get rid of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Not only that, but like, you look at teams like Katana Chance and Caden Carter, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Like, there are some still, like, teams that exist, and they're still trying to cultivate tag teams down in NXT. So I don't think, like, getting rid of it, I did say get rid of it if you're not going to use it, but I'm still in the boat of, you should use it. Like, it should be an asset to the program, to the product. I think it would be great. And I'm all about giving as many people as much TV time as possible. You know, I'm not saying every week we need to have a women's tag title match or a women's tag match or anything like that. But,
yeah,
you know, just to make the division just as important as the men.
Give us something. Like, just show that you actually care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll do that with this title reign, because if not, I don't know what else there is to do. Because
I think they will, because I think Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville possess that sort of continuity in the ring as a tag team. You see them stringing together some moves, and they're entertaining outside of what they do in the ring. You know, Chelsea Green has that sort of, you know, Karen-esque, you know, kind of dull blonde, you know, humor, and Sonya just kind of tolerates it because, you know, that's just who she is, but she can get it done in the ring. So, like, there's upside both in the physical part and the entertainment part of it.
Exactly. There is something there. It's just a matter of if they can actually capitalize on it for once, for God's sake. Time will tell. But, all right. So this is, I think, a rather easy question. Do we feel like Ronda Rousey has brought any step up to her mic game against Shayna? To Jeff, it feels like it's the same old, same old. Yeah, Shayna's destroying her on the mic. Like, it's not even a contest.
Yeah, that's the craziest part, because it seems like with that segment that they had, it looks like the crowd was more on Shayna's side than they were on Ronda's side. And yeah. I don't think... Just by guessing, you know, I don't think that's what WWE intended to happen. I think they wanted to bring Ronda back to that superstar status. You know, like, she's like, oh my God, she's coming from the UFC. They wanted to bring that aura back to her. The promo was just like, I get what she was trying to do. It was just too many words.
It's like lackadaisical almost, in a way.
Like, her cadence was weird. Like, she was trying to avoid getting what chanted by, like, spitting as many words as fast as she could say them. You know?
It was like, from the little bit I saw, it was almost just like, if you just showed that clip right there, you wouldn't have thought she was the good guy in this situation, because it's just like, it was a cocky, like, well, you know what, I made you and this and that, and now I'm finally gonna get you on onto SummerSlam card. And it's just like, and we're supposed to feel bad for her? I mean, obviously I'm not, because clearly we know what side I'm on, but it's like she is swinging and missing, and Shane is hitting home runs every time just by default, because she just has to barely put together a promo, and it's already kind of better than Ronda's. So yeah, Ronda just can't talk. And I think the problem is, I think we've talked about it many episodes ago, she was good in the UFC because she could just kind of say whatever she wanted to say, and she didn't have to have a script, this or that, whatever. She cannot talk with a script at all. It's very obvious. It's wooden. It's forced. It's not believable. It just sounds terrible. Shane, on the other hand, she knows how to. I feel like I saw an interview with her before where it's, I don't try to make it sound like a promo. I just make it sound like I'm talking.
Exactly.
And it comes through. It's like, I could easily see her saying something like that to somebody on the street as she would to Ronda in a promo. So by default, Shayna is just killing her on the mic, and it's not even a contest. I feel like anybody at this point could probably blow up Ronda in a promo, but I'm excited to see this match at SummerSlam, because, you know, this isn't even going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a fight. Like, it is going to be painful in the best way possible.
Oh, yeah.
And if that means Ronda is gone, then all the better. I can't wait to see it. And I can't wait to continue to see Shayna eviscerate her on the microphone, because she hasn't missed yet.
Yeah, I think the problem is like what you said before, Shayna makes it seem more natural, where like Ronda's clearly being scripted, where she should be given just bullet points and try to hit on those bullet points and like give her a direction. Because the reason Shayna's promos is getting over with me is because they have a story behind them. Her idea is Ronda kind of backdoored her way into the WWE while Shayna had to do all the dirty work to get where she's at.
Yeah.
You know, and she thought that Ronda backdooring her way into the WWE spotlight is just unfair, and she's taking opportunities away from Shayna. That's all that stuff is clear direction and things that Shayna hammers on almost bullet point style with it coming across very naturally. Whereas Ronda, she has these points that she's trying to make, but there's like so many words in between those points that it's just like,
yeah,
come on. Yeah, come on. Again, the match, I think the match is like, it could border on the sleeper status. I think it's going to be very good because, again, in real life, these two are very good friends, and they always say in the wrestling business, you can always kind of take more liberties with your friends. You can hit a little bit harder. Not only that, but they both have that MMA background that they can incorporate into the match. And that alone would be something completely different than what everybody else is doing. So they can kind of bring that to the table, and that'll actually stick with people's attention and stick in their memory that they were doing this sort of pseudo MMA-esque match that is their strong point, you know, and all the while having the story of being two ex-best friends going at it.
Yeah, and it was funny that you mentioned that part of the promo because Shayna literally said that on the bump this afternoon. I didn't get to watch all of it. I saw this one clip on Twitter where she pretty much said, you know, she was, you know, blazing the trail in MMA, and she's like, I kind of had already been wrestling for, or performing in MMA or doing MMA for like 10, 12 years before Ronda even got in. So she just kind of burst down the door or bust in the door and whatever. And Shayna's like, okay, yeah, I'll let her have her moment, whatever. And she's like, and now she's doing it again to me in wrestling. So it's like, all right, I got tired of it. So it's believable. It's understandable from any stand, but you could literally take any type of like personal friendship, relationship, career, whatever, and put that into that situation, and you could totally understand where Shayna is coming from. It's like, okay, I've done all that I can. I've worked like so hard, blood, sweat, and tears, like building the rings, tearing them down, whatever, and she just waltzes in everywhere she goes and just gets everything handed to her, and I'm sick of it. You totally understand it. It's kind of almost like Becky and Charlotte a few years ago, where you're supposed to feel bad apparently for Charlotte because my best friend betrayed me, but Becky had the better point than Charlotte. We saw how that ended. So, yeah, this is going to be something. I am definitely excited to see it.
Me too.
I think another easy question here. Do we think AEW fans are going to embrace Kota Ibushi? He's one of the greats, and Jeff thinks AEW lucked out getting him into the fold. I would think so. I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, I never, you gotta be pretty not likable if you go to AEW and they don't automatically embrace you, whether you're a heel or a face. Like, you know, yeah, it's Kota freaking Ibushi. Like, shit, like,
yeah,
this dude's on another level when it comes to professional wrestling, from an in-ring physical standpoint. From an entertainment standpoint, it's just this guy, he gets it, and he's been getting it for like years now. You know, unless you're of like the Jim Cornette fan variety, those are the only people that don't get Kota Ibushi, and they will objectively never try to even understand Kota Ibushi. And my thing is like, if you're entertained by it, you're entertained by it. Like, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think. The only joy we get is if we see if our opinions align and we're like, oh, we're kind of similar as wrestling fans. But that's about it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, like, it's Kota Ibushi. You know? And if you don't know who Kota Ibushi is, you need to hop on YouTube. Like,
Google, our favorite.
Yeah, Google, YouTube, you better hop on the game quick because you're behind on the eight ball. So, like, it's Kota Ibushi. Again, this guy probably is going to do something maddening with that cage. it's gonna be insane. And then it's AEW, so you gotta kind of hold your breath.
Yeah, I hope he goes into the trance.
Yeah, like that's my favorite bit that he does when he goes into that trance, where like you can hit him as hard as you want to, he's just not gonna budge, and he's gonna hit you 10 times harder.
Yeah, you know, I need to see that happen at least once.
Yeah, that's gonna be a lot of fun. And yeah, that's my favorite Kota Ibushi bit.
Well, hopefully we get to see it. I mean, obviously we'll have to watch it later as it's going on right now, so it's almost a matter of how long is it gonna take someone to bleed, because it's Blood and Guts.
Imagine it being called Blood and Guts and there's nobody bleeding.
Wouldn't that be the ultimate just like joke though, where it's like, hey, we give you blood every other time, but for Blood and Guts, yeah, no, you'll be fine.
Nobody bleeds.
I would laugh, but it's Moxley, so there's gonna be blood. That's not even if it's on accident, there's gonna be blood.
He's gonna figure out a way to get that blood in.
Oh yeah. Accidental or on purpose. It's just Jesus. And this next question kind of piggybacks off this one. With AEW having a decent track record with their Joshi talent, do you feel they should try to bring more in, even if it's just for a small number of appearances? I think so.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
More the merrier, really.
Really. And it's the AEW has this ability to bring in these people, and some of them, they don't need video packages or fanfare. They're just, all they say is like, this person's going to show up. Here's the thing. Back in the day when WCW brought in luchadors and things like that, they didn't have a vignette or anything like that for every luchador that they brought into Nitro or Thunder or whatever. And there was no internet back then. So like the only way you knew of these people was if you were in the tape trading business, you know? So it's like this idea that like everybody needs a vignette or everybody needs a backstory from commentary. Like I get the idea. Would it help? Sure. But it's not a necessity, you know? No,
just look at Maki Ito a few years ago.
Yeah. She just showed up. And like, it's one of those things, especially with the Joshi time, because they're so like, they have this, everybody has a unique characteristic and a unique personality to them. Yeah. That like coming across on TV would be great. So it's just like, how are you not drawn to just the look, and then you see what they do in the ring and it's just like, wow, this is wrestling on a whole nother level. So again, like that's the one thing AEW does well, is that like they don't necessarily for every new talent that they bring in show a vignette, and when they do, like in the case of like Nick Wayne, it actually works. Yeah. You know, but that shouldn't be the treatment for everybody, because that would just be crazy. Like imagine if WCW Nitro aired a vignette for the debut of Super Kolo. Like that would just be like, people would be like, why this, like, you know, like a La Parka vignette. Like it just, it's just crazy talk. This is nitpicky.
Yeah, exactly. Like just let them do the things.
Yeah. Let them do the things. Exactly.
The talent can speak for itself. It doesn't always need fanfare around it.
Exactly.
God. All right. So now we have our first thinking question now.
Uh-oh.
And Jeff's last question is, if we could propose trades between AEW and WWE, who would we try to trade between the promotions?
Hmm.
I know.
The problem is that WWE is so good right now. It's like the people on TV, like you kind of want to see, like, you know, you want to see in a WWE capacity.
Karrion Kross, like, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one, Karrion Kross, because I feel like, again, I don't know. I personally think it's good because I'm a fan of Karrion Kross. I do recognize he's in a difficult spot in trying to get over with the fan base. For whatever reason, he's just not connecting.
No.
You know, it's just not connecting. So I do I do see, even though I'm a fan of his, maybe, you know, a different change of scenery would help. Bobby Lashley is another one.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah. And then, like, you go lower on the card, you know, Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cedric would be great. I think Cedric would be excellent in AEW. Shelton would be just as good. You know, yeah. You don't even have to pair them up. So, like, the undercard of WWE, the guys you don't really see on TV, like the Apollo Crews and, you know, the Tozawas, they would probably excel in AEW. The problem is, which I think people don't really grasp, is like, you want everybody to succeed.
Yeah.
And you want everybody to look good and capitalize and gain as much fandom as possible. But there has to be clear-cut guys that maybe look better in losing than winning. You know, like they help build up the other talent. Like that is an unsung talent in wrestling in itself. Like the Barry Horwitz or the Brooklyn Brawlers, you know, of yesteryear.
Can't all be winners.
Yeah, and it sucks if you think about it, because if you don't win, you don't get the accolades, you don't get the fanfare, you don't get anything good, you just get a loss.
If anything, you get recognition years later, but at that point, in the now, it doesn't help.
Yeah, it's like, at best, they'd be like, he was a good worker in the ring, you know? He made everybody else look good. And
yeah.
Sadly, that doesn't make a lot of money, but you know, the one thing is, like, AEW at least tries to give everyone a chance, you know, especially when they had Dark and Elevation, and they could definitely use the underutilized talent to give them those little bits of matches there. It's crazy if you think about it, the amount of programming they have now between Dynamite, Rampage, Collision. It's like one of those shows are going to have to be like the one of those B-roll shows.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's probably going to be Rampage. Let's be real. but yeah, you can't, not everybody can win. That's just how it works. Unfortunately, like, just how it is. I mean, not it's everyone just how can be it winners.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the easiest way to put it. Not everyone can be winners. Alrighty, so that was all of Jeff's questions. So thank you, as always, for the questions. And let's go to Mike's. So Mike's first question is, did we get to see Ilya Dragunov versus Braun Breaker? If not, go out of your way to see it. It was fantastically physical. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I only got to see clips of it, unfortunately, because I've been unusually busy this week, so unfortunately I wasn't able to go back and watch, but I did see clips of it, and it was the bits and pieces that I did see. It's Braun Breaker, you know, doing what he's been doing best, you know, like it's crazy how you see somebody put the pieces together and then, like, hit their stride. As soon as he turned heel, it was like, boom, this is the spot he's supposed to be in. This is the move it should have been, and this is going to propel him and actually make him interesting, you know? So, like, that, it's just crazy how it all just starts clicking and you see it in motion. And then it's Ilya Dragunov who, for some reason, he has, like, this Mick Foley-esque sort of characteristic where he's, like, impervious to pain.
A masochist, you know?
Yeah, it's weird, almost. Like, it's so weird how every single thing about Ilya Dragunov is delivering pain and taking pain. Yeah. You know, like, you know what I mean? So, like, that's all it is with him. So it's crazy. I wonder how that would translate it on Raw or SmackDown or anything like that. Like, I wonder if they can get that over. But again, Braun Breaker, he's been hitting it on all strides, you know, and he's still taking losses. He took the loss, and then he took the loss against Seth Rollins, but, like, it really hasn't deterred any of his momentum.
No, not at all.
You know, it's crazy.
Just, The thing that always sticks out of my mind, that spear in midair again, like, oh.
Yeah, the timing of it, you know, because if the timing is off, you could have a head-to-head collision, you know, and something like that. But he's always on point with it. He knows the perfect spot to land it in, you know, and it's great. I'm interested in seeing what they're going to do with him. Like, they have, I think he has one more match that they're building up, but it's almost like, damn, when is he going to show up on Raw or SmackDown?
Yeah, it's only a matter of time at this point. Like, it's just a matter of when, not if.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see him mix it up with some, I mean, get another rematch with Rollins. I mean, you could literally put him with just about anybody and it'd be like, yeah, that could be a really good match.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, him and AJ Styles, would be good. Yeah. Him and Sheamus in a program would be good.
God, those two kick the shit out of each other.
Yeah, him and Riddle in a program would be good. So, there's a lot of different ways you can go.
Yeah, so hopefully he's up here sooner rather than later, because it feels like every other week they've been saying, oh, yeah, he's finally coming up to me. Oh, yeah, he's finally coming up to the main roster. It's like, okay, well, sooner rather than later would be helpful, especially for him, because you can't keep him down there too long, because then the momentum kind of goes down and... then that's just we don't want that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So Nick Wayne and Grayson Waller both lose their debut matches, but they won in those losses. Do we agree with the decision to have them lose their debuts?
I would say yeah. I think it was the right call. Grayson Waller, starting off with him, he took on a Hall of Famer, and like you know, I think him beating Edge would have been like, whoa. And then you would have had a couple of people saying like, maybe that should have been the case. Like Mike said, it didn't hurt him in the end. It was a fantastic match, a great ending. And then you get the rub from Edge, you know, so it served its purpose. And in that sense, when Edge put him over after the match, it was almost like, yeah, the loss means nothing. It was all about the performance and the fact that he can hang with Edge one-on-one says more than wins or losses. And almost the same thing you could say about Nick Wayne and his debut. But again, he was going up against Swerve, who is one of the hotter acts in AEW. It wasn't like Edge, where it's just like, well, Edge is a Hall of Famer, he's going to get the win. This was a calculated reason that Swerve won. It's because he's one of the hotter acts in AEW, and I think they're going to go ahead and capitalize on that. But again, in Nick Wayne's case, it still was perfectly fine, because he, at 18 years old, showed that he can hang in the ring, he can take the bumps, he can take the bruises, and he can dish it out, because he had Swerve on the ropes a couple times, with that Rana that landed on the apron floor. But then Swerve comes back with the countering another Rana into that sick powerbomb off the top rope, and you're just like, wow, brother, that kid is, and in front of his mom and everything, too, so it's just like, The kid showed some heart, and I think they can kind of play off that, where he just has that fire and that heart. And again, you know, he's been doing this ever since he was 9 years old. His debut on TV, he already had 9 years worth of experience and two tours to Japan. You know, like,
no big that's deal. Just,
yeah, at 18 years old. Ugh, that's insane.
It's so insane.
Like, he's going to hit his prime when he's like 23.
You know, like, great.
That's just wild. It's just wild. But there is a definite youth movement in the underground of professional wrestling and like the independent circuit. They're taking more chances, these promoters, with younger talent, because they believe in them. Again, you look at Nick Wayne, Billy Starks, Matt Rinkowski, especially like the women's side, of indie wrestling is really flourishing, and they're taking a lot more chances with them. So it's good to see.
Yeah, and we touched on it. It's I love how AEW and WWE both didn't fall into the trap of, oh my god, well, it's their debut, they have to win, because yeah, it's great for like the new person and the up and comer to get the win, but if that completely just throws the continuity of a storyline off or somebody else's momentum off, what's really the point? Like, okay, you got the new guy over, but you hurt one of your hotter acts in the process. So it was smart on their part to not fall into the trap and take the bait. So yeah. And we've said it how many times on this show, just because you lose a match doesn't mean you really, really lose. So
yeah,
I was fine with them both losing. It made perfect sense for them to both lose. They didn't have to win right away.
Right. Nobody I saw was talking about how they lost. They were just talking about how awesome it was to see them in a match.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So that's just how it goes. Like, you know, again, in certain situations, the loss does not matter. It is the performance.
Exactly. And sometimes that's all that really matters. Wins and losses are sometimes just irrelevant, or bonuses, depending on what happens. But yeah, sometimes the talent can just speak for itself.
Yeah.
All right. Do we think Saraya's brother, Zach, is going to appear at All In? I think in some capacity, yes, at the very least at ringside again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets involved somehow.
Yeah, like maybe if they do a ringside bit and then he maybe jumps in the ring. I wouldn't debut him in a match, though. I just think that would be like All In is probably too much for that. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, like there needs to be a clear build up. Like, the importance of All In, we're already past the fact that, like, they don't need to worry about selling tickets to this show. Now they need to worry about upholding the expectations of this show. This show is going to be under heavy scrutiny. It's going to be dissected, nitpicked. Everything is going to be looked at under a microscope. So they really have to hit on all cylinders, every capacity. Mm-hmm. So like, it would be hard at this point to build up a debut. Like, I know of him and I know of his story through the movie, you know?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, nothing struck me as I have to go seek him out, you know, and see what he's done. And that's no slight to him or anything like that. I just don't think you're gonna get the response level you would expect if you debuted him at All In.
Yeah, because you don't always need something like that to happen at a big show like that. If you have a good enough card, you don't need all the big extra surprises, because I feel like sometimes, not always, sometimes it's warranted, sometimes it's almost like, yeah, we know that this pay-per-view could be better because some of these matches are a little iffy, so let's just throw this in here and it'll make people forget about it. It's kind of just like a afterthought almost, but they're going to need more than just that. They're going to need wrestling on this card for it to not be automatically thrown in the trash, because like you said, it's going to be under heavy scrutiny. The ticket sales are already speaking for itself. Like, it's pretty much damn near a sellout at this point, and I probably will be a sellout by the time it comes around, so to say this is perhaps the biggest wrestling event in quite some time is not really an exaggeration, because not even just the size, just the expectations on it. I don't even think a WrestleMania has had this much expectations in it on it in a very long time. So, yeah, no pressure or anything.
Yeah. Maybe on like a pre-show capacity,
maybe,
you know, like he put him in the ring in a pre-show match. If you have to put him in the ring, you know,
yeah. Get the crowd going, I guess, early.
Yeah, and the thing is about the show, like you said, with the ticket wise, I think what they're saying is this is supposed to be surpassing anything that WWE has ever done.
Yeah,
in terms of ticket sales and, you know, sellout capacities. I think that's why WWE pulled the John Cena thing at the Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Pay-per-view.
Get the WrestleMania to London.
Get the WrestleMania to London and then be like, this is how it's supposed to be done. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so WWE, you know, like.
It's that's petty, their but way. Not petty, but petty.
Yeah, it's that's their way of letting AEW know that they're potentially at least on their radar. You know, it's so crazy. Like, but yeah, again, this show in itself is going to be just nitpicked to death. I can already tell.
It's gonna be painful. So
yeah. So I just hope everything works out well and we get a banger show.
I just hope everyone has a good time.
Exactly.
So we always, just because it's wrestling, just let people enjoy the wrestling show, please, guys. All right, so this one, I feel like we have maybe another question about this one, but I was hoping we get to talk about this. So with how Ricky Starks won the Owen Hart tournament, which I was surprised. I was genuinely surprised. I had a bad feeling they were going to try and do Punk, and I'm like, this is not going to be a good idea if he wins. So I was genuinely surprised. Glad Ricky won, because he would have been my choice anyway. With the way he won it and how he grabbed the cup from Liger, is a heel turn in his future. I don't know about you, but that's what I thought initially after he did it. I'm like, oh, we're going to get that Ricky again, which is no problem because Ricky can play that character very well. But then you turn right around and have the trophy presentation. He is acting like perfectly fine. So I'm like, what are we doing? Is he bad? Because if we wanted to continue what happened with Liger, you could have him just like snatch the belt or whatever out of Dr. Martha's hands and just be like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. But no, he was happy and smiling and just like Willow was. So it's like, what are we doing here, guys?
I think the Liger thing was their intention with what you were saying. I think that was more of we can do this wrestling bit with Liger and it would go over well with if you tried to pull it on Dr. Martha Hart, it might be a little awkward, you know?
Yeah.
Like it'd just be like it might be a little uncomfortable trying to pull a heel move on this lady that's just trying to present a trophy for a tournament named after her dead husband, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, they kind of did that last year too. If you think about it, at the time, technically Britt and Adam were both heels and they acted just fine. So I would not be surprised actually, if that's the case and Ricky's turning heel, but you know what? I would be okay with it because Ricky's just that good either way.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of those things like, I'm all for it, but like usually you see the indications you know, that a person is leaning towards turning themselves into a heel or face. Like you see the indications that it's happening.
Yeah.
This just kind of came out of nowhere. You know?
Like, it's a little surprising. Like the holding the ropes, I'm like, okay, that was just like, you know, maybe just a desperation kind of thing. But then when he grabbed the cup from Liger, I'm like, wait, what?
Really? He just grabbed the cup from Liger. Liger flew all the way from Japan in full gear, in his gear, his whole getup.
Yeah.
For Ricky just to snatch the trophy and walk off, and Liger's like, wait a minute, like.
He's like, I wasted my time for this. What the hell?
Exactly. Oh my! I hope they compensated Liger very well for that because.
God, I hope so.
I would have been tight.
Could you imagine just having that explained to you? Like, so we're going to bring you overseas. We're going to bring you here. You're going to get your gear ready. And he's just going to take the cup from you. What do you think? Like, how could you imagine just being like, yeah, sure, that works. Fine.
Oh, my God.
No.
Fantastic. I laughed. I lost it. I lost it. I couldn't breathe for about a good 5 minutes because it was just perfect. Because it's like you said, everybody, if you were a smart betting person, you had your money on CM Punk winning this thing.
Yeah.
As soon as he was announced, you're like, well, it's got to be Punk.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, they're gonna placate Punk and give him this win. And he's like, nah, give it to Ricky. And then it's like all those CM Punk detractors are probably online like, they're so mad.
They have no fun to complain about now. So.
Yeah. How dare he put another younger talent over, like, you know, in a tournament final. You know, like, so it's just like, the whole situation is just, it's crazy. But we live for those surprises, you know, those little things.
Yeah, so I was genuinely surprised and happy that Ricky won. I think that was a very good choice. So good for Ricky.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, Mike's last question is, somehow, some way, they found a way to get Dom even more heat based on what happened on NXT. So is it fair to say that the Judgment Day is Raw's bloodline now? I feel like I'll let you answer that one, because that's your expertise. I will say I was definitely shocked by what happened on NXT.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was... I audibly was like, did they really do that?
Uh-huh.
Like, did that really happen? But yeah, that was, and it was so well done. It wasn't overcomplicated.
No.
It was, he's a heel and he's got backup. Part of his backup wasn't there. And really, I don't think anybody was expecting Damian and Finn to be there. They figured it was enough to have Dom and Rhea there. You know, they don't need the whole group, and then the whole group shows up, takes out Wesley, the longest reigning NXT North American champion, arguably the best NXT North American champion they've ever had. And he loses that way to Dirty Dom. It, for me, was just the reaction of the crowd. Like, they were angry, but it was almost like they were so shocked that it actually happened.
Yeah,
that it wasn't like they were throwing trash in the ring or anything like that. Like, they wanted to riot, but they were still
they couldn't
process. Yeah, they were still, like, their brain was still processing the fact that it happened. Nobody thought this was gonna happen. Nobody would have said Dom's gonna go to NXT and win the North American Championship. That rarely happens. It happened with Dolph Ziggler, but that was kind of like, this is like a different thing because of what Dominic is doing in terms of his career. It is just, you got to give him props. You know, like, he almost is like a classic heel in the sense that, like, he's not doing a whole bunch of different flashy moves. No. Most of the time he's getting his ass kicked. You know, there's a fair amount of these matches where most of the time he's getting his ass kicked. He just figures out a way to slither at the right spot to get the pin and the win. So it's just, it's a really highly effective way to get over as a heel. It's almost a little old school, you know, because you don't want to over flash like the baby face. But again, putting that title on, nobody expected it. And when Dom shows up, whenever his next segment is, again, I can't imagine people not wanting to watch NXT.
Yeah, exactly. It's went back to one of the first things we said on this episode, is that they're making NXT something to watch, because now you have to tune in almost, because now it's like, oh, well, if Dominic can go on NXT and do that, what else could they do? Like, what lengths could they go to make NXT the third brand like it should be? We've been saying it should be for, I mean, should have been years ago, but that's a whole other rant for another day. But if they're willing to do this kind of stuff, then you might want to take it seriously, or you're going to miss some important stuff.
Yeah, not only that, but like, it does great for like the rest of the NXT product, because I mean, you see Thea Hell, for example, who's very entertaining, and she was even more entertaining last night on NXT when she had Tiffany Stratton in that Kimura, making, like, this is logical stuff. Tiffany Stratton gave her a match but didn't want to use the submission match stipulation. Thea Hell puts her in the Kimura, forces her to accept the stipulation, but it was very entertaining. Then you look at the tag team match that they had with, like, Los Lotharios and Nathan Fraser and who was the other one he was with? It was Nathan and Dragon Lee.
That was
a great match. A great match. So, like, it does wonders, because people who don't usually tune into NXT tune in, and then they see, oh, this stuff has this here happening? This is very interesting. Like, this was a very good episode of NXT, and we all know I'm kind of like, I'm always been on the fence when it came to NXT, but like, now they're starting to show flashes of that goodness, you know, where the in-ring quality is overtaking the necessity to have different characters on the show, you know. So like, at least this week, this NXT episode definitely worked for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. It brought the shock factor, it brought the everything. So yeah, claps all around for NXT this week.
For sure.
Anyway, so that's all of Mike's questions. So thank you as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Move on to our final four questions. Like, we said it was going to be a smaller show compared to the last two, so we weren't joking. So Mom has our last four questions, of course. This one, I think you and I are going to have some varying degrees with this answer. What is the bloodiest match we have ever watched?
Ooh.
I know.
There is. I got a couple.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot, and this is coming from someone who doesn't necessarily like blood or blood in matches. Like I always said, if I was a promoter, that would be one of my first rules, is like, it's not necessary on this scale to cut someone open and have them bleed all over the property. Like that means we have to get the mat clean.
You have to too much.
Sanitize. Yeah, like it's just too much. Let's do it. But for me, ones that come to mind: JBL versus Eddie Guerrero, Judgment Day 2004.
Yeah,
that was just gruesomely bloody. JBL hit Eddie with a chair shot, and it was something out of a horror movie. The amount of blood. On the AEW side, we all talk about John Moxley, but I'm gonna throw you something different. Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Double or Nothing 2019.
Christ,
you know, that was just kind of borderline, like, do we need to call the medical professionals, you know, for this situation?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, because it was just bad. And then you look on like the indie circuit. Because I'm in this general area, it's more popular. Look like John Moxley's early matches for CZW, especially when he was wrestling Nick Gage and things like that. Nick Gage was another one who had to be airlifted out of a CZW event, airlifted by a helicopter, or else he would have died.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, it's weird. Like, we've been talking about blood a lot. And blood's been coming up. It's been sort of like the discourse for like the past 2 weeks on the internet, with John Moxley speaking about using blood in pro wrestling. And then like Dark Side of the Ring had the episode with Abdullah the Butcher last night, which was another fantastic Dark Side of the Ring episode. So it's just like, blood's an interesting thing when it comes to professional wrestling. I think the fact that WWE is like, don't do it. If it happens, it happens, but it's going to happen the hard way. Yeah. It's like, I think maybe Brock maybe had the go ahead to cut himself for that one match against Cody.
Yeah.
But even that wasn't on a gruesome scale. Mm-hmm. So it was more safer. So I think like WWE is just like, it has to be a special case, because whenever it happens, everybody instantly goes, ooh, and ah. And then, but when it happens in AEW, it's just like, well, John Moxley's bleeding again.
It's like, just like, well, all right.
Somebody left the door open, the wind blew, and he's bleeding again. You know?
Literally, though. Yeah.
Yeah, what are yours?
I mean, I feel like the one that always is going to stick out in my mind for obvious reasons was Britt and Thunder Rosa in the Unsanctioned Lights Out match.
That's a good one.
I feel like, yeah, that one just always sticks out to me, because obviously you don't see that very often in women's wrestling. So for somebody, as in Britt and Thunder Rosa too, but let's be honest, Britt to a more degree, like bigger degree than Thunder Rosa, to willingly just be like, yeah, I'll just have all this blood pouring out of my head. Like, yeah, no big deal. It's just whatever makes the match look believable. And it did. If let's be completely honest, if we would go back and watch that match and neither one of them would have bled, it would not have been the same, like, at all. It still would have been a very good match, but that was one of those where, shockingly, as we've said before, it actually added to the match without it going overboard. Like, right. Just added that little extra element to it where it's like, wow, these two really don't like each other and are just willing to just beat the shit out of each other just to prove a point. So I think that one will just always stick out in my mind the most. Yeah, because it was one of those rare instances of the women being just as brutal as the men can be, because they can, and they are, if given the opportunity. So that would pretty much be my pick for sure, is the unsanctioned lights out match.
Yeah, that's a good one. And that kind of reminded me of another one that didn't get mentioned. The one where Ty Mello.
Oh, yeah, the street fight.
Yeah, where she got busted open really good. Body and table. Again, like you said, it's not really expected in the women's matches, and then you take someone like Ty Mello, who's not really considered, like, she really doesn't even consider to be have like a mean streak in her.
No,
not much less a hardcore streak. And then you look and watch this match, and she's just gushing blood.
And a bunny,
and the bunny too. Bunny got rocked in that match too. Like, it's interesting because, like, again, I'm not a blood guy. I could do without it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me. You know, like, I have no ill feeling towards deathmatch wrestling. Like, if you enjoy it, have fun with it. Go ahead, knock yourself out. It's just not for me, because I look at blood and I'm more like, I hope this person doesn't die. Because that would suck.
Please just make it to the back so you can get stitched up, please. I'm begging you.
And then, you would hope that this promotion has medics on staff to help this situation. Because I heard, and even on that Dark Side of the Ring episode, they were talking about an instance where somebody got busted open and there was no medic on site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm thinking, how are you running a show and you don't have a medic?
Yeah.
And
for someone with personal experience with this, God help if you're anemic in any way, because good fucking luck, because no, like, especially to what degree anemic you are, it's just not good at all.
Yeah, that, like I said, if I was a promoter, that'd probably be my rule number one, is we don't really need to bleed buckets, you know? Like,
no.
The goal here is to get over and entertain with your ability, you know, in the ring and on the microphone. And I don't need you guys bleeding and then worrying, like you said, if somebody's anemic, somebody's got hepatitis, they don't know about it. Brock Lesnar, another one, like this is, hepatitis was rampant at one point.
Yeah.
In the WWE in particularly, like, they had a high number of cases. You know, and that's not stuff to gamble with.
Only people's lives, but, you know, I guess.
It's the lengths they go to entertain us, I guess.
So for the people that say it's fake, can kindly fuck off with that kind of shit, because, again, that's a whole other rant for another day, but. All right, so what does WWE see in Raquel Rodriguez that mom doesn't? She's good, but we talked about it a little bit earlier. It's just something is just not clicking. I feel like if they would have brought her up from NXT as NXT Raquel Rodriguez, it would have been perfectly fine. Because a no-nonsense, just, again, kicky in the teeth kind of personality, like, not smiling and waving and happy to be here, like, that does not fit her character at all. And they've just struggled to kind of replicate it since. So I feel like that's all they would need to do, but I'm with her, obviously. I mean, obviously we're a little biased because we talk about this when she's here, but it's just like, even when she was with Dakota, I was never really, like, the biggest fan of her. Obviously I was more with Dakota, but yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't really see it. Yeah. But.
I would. You're right. Like, it seems like the idea that she's just happy to be there kind of comes across on screen, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to see more of her being dominant, more power-based moves, kind of maybe even a sprinkle little, like, no-selling in the beginning. Somebody tries to throw a strike, yeah, and she just kind of brushes it off, you know? Capitalize on the fact that in terms of appearance, she looks different than a lot of other wrestlers on the roster and in the industry. It's just funny because she does the back thing, like the back pose, and then you're like, all right. And then, like, I see a picture of Rhea Ripley at this house show, and she's not even flexing. Yeah. And this is like a high angle camera shot, and you just see muscle on top of muscle on top of muscle. Yeah. So it's just like, Raquel does that same bit, and you kind of don't get it. You know? So it's just like,
she doesn't even have to try.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just, yeah, she needs that. She needs maybe a chip on her shoulder. We talk about it a couple times on this show. Sometimes having that little bit of an edge and ego can do you wonders. Can do you wonders to kind of, maybe she needs to go against the establishment and stop high-fiving everybody and just being happy to be there.
Yeah, that would honestly, I think, fix a lot of things with her, but clearly they don't want to do that right now. But whatever, Rhea can just still keep being the cool one, because she is. I wish I could even just have, like, a fraction of, like, her confidence and her, like, coolness, because it's just, like, she doesn't even try.
Like, it's just crazy. Like, she just... she has this aura around her, this swagger.
Yeah.
You know, she is just cool in every single way. It's like a female James Dean almost. She's just cool. It's just so weird with the whole dynamic between her and Dominik.
Yeah.
Like, they really get into character to the point where you're like, I kind of see why Buddy Matthews gets a little nervous.
because
if I was him, when she came home, I'd be like, well, what's all this about?
what the hell's going on here?
Because the stands on Twitter that are for Rhea Ripley, they clip the most insane, like, exchanges between Dominik and Rhea. And, like, the eye glances, and it's like, if they're in character, like, they got me. Like, there's no way you can't tell me there's something between them. Not to mention, I think Dominik is engaged to a totally different person.
Yeah.
So it's just like, how do they get away with this? Like, how, if you're not the significant other, are you just a little bit insecure and just saying, I know this is your job, but, like, how?
That's why you have a very trusting partner, obviously, because you have
to have somebody that's completely comfortable. Right now, Buddy Matthews is in a blender. Like, he can't. Yeah. He has these outbursts on Twitter, like these little spurts of reeling in, buddy, because you're gonna get in trouble. Yeah. Like, it's just, that's when wrestling is very, very good, when it blurs the lines of reality and what's fiction. But in a sense, like, this is not even in ring stuff. This is just two characters just working together and just clicking it to the point where you're just like, this is weird.
I always wonder what she whispers to him. I just want to know. Is it like...
I do too.
Trying to make him laugh. Like, what?
Yeah. I always look for his reaction.
Yeah. Because
his reaction is very telling. Like, he will crack up if it's something good. And then he also does the Eddie Guerrero mannerisms that he used to do with China.
Yeah,
Dominik copies that. He literally copies it. You know, and the funny thing about Rhea is, like, she's no nonsense. Like, you don't approach her, because she can literally kick your ass.
Yep.
Like, you know, she will destroy you. But when she looks at Dominic, she just melts.
Yeah.
Like, it's good acting. It's great acting. It's phenomenal. Yeah. This is a sign that for some reason, I don't know what's going on, but WWE's hitting on all cylinders with everything that they're doing. You got the Bloodline at the top. Then you got Judgment Day. Then you got the supporting acts. Like, we didn't even get to touch on the Alpha Academy Viking Raiders match. That was just, what the hell was that? And Maxine taking a table bump.
Yeah.
It was just nuts. Imperium is crazy right now. Mm. Like, it's just all these things are working together, and the whole product is just very good right now. So I'm excited. And again, AEW is just as good. So I don't want anybody thinking we're taking sides here. Yeah, we're not taking sides. Wrestling as a whole is doing very good right now.
Yeah, we definitely cannot complain. I mean, we can't complain. We just choose not to. We look at the good stuff. That's what we try to
do. We're the very rare variety where we don't come on this program and complain about everything. Because I listen to some podcasting. You know, I don't shit on anybody's podcast. Mm-hmm. This is very hard, but it's just like, I wish, like, we would see more people talking about the enjoyment of it, like we do, not to toot our own horn, but like, we talk about the stuff that we enjoy and why we enjoy it, and we even take like the bad stuff and say, this is what you can do to make it more enjoyable, rather than just saying it sucks.
Well, yeah, because if we came on here for 1 to 2.5 hours at a time just complaining, we would be absolutely miserable. Not even just on the podcast, just in general. Just negativity, it spreads quickly, so I'd rather not contribute to the bad mood of somebody else and just try to be uplifting about it, or at least just be happy about something that I enjoy, even if someone necessarily might not like it too. But if I enjoy it in the nicest way possible, it's like, I don't really care. It's just like, I like it, so it's just, that's kind of what enjoying things is about. Like, you can enjoy it, and other people can't, and that's fine, but don't let it ruin your enjoyment.
Yeah, have fun.
Like, if I took it to heart, every person that hated Shayna Baszler, like, I would be very miserable. It's just like, I just get to sit here now and be like, well, guys, I told you so. You're only about, oh, I don't know, how many years late, but
listen, I'm a Triple H fan. I've been through the ringer, you know, when it comes, sometimes you're just a fan of who you're a fan of, you know, it's just
it is what it is.
There's plenty of instances where, like, you know, the least fan favorite has some fans. There are people on the internet you see all the time that are like, man, I wish so-and-so had a world title run. And some of those names you're like,
why?
Really?
you
sure about that? Like, you know, that was like, you know, are we, but you know, that's just wrestling, man. Everybody's a fan of something.
As we always say on the show, just let people enjoy things.
Yep.
It's very, well, should be simple, but it's not. all right. So we touched on this a little bit earlier. What is up with Ricky Starks? I feel like it has to be a heel turn at this point, because you kind of can't do, again, you can kind of ignore what he did in the match that could be just chalked up to desperation, but what he did afterwards is kind of like, all right, like, Ricky, what are you doing here? Like, come on.
Yeah, the Liger bit put it over.
But it's just, why though?
Yeah, it's, yeah, and that's my thing. It's because, like, he didn't really need it.
No, you people know? Liked him.
People like, and I still think people like him, like people will still find entertainment in the fact that what he did to Liger, like, it was a dickhead move, like, is a jerk off move, but you're like, damn, that's funny,
right? You know, like, you have to laugh.
It's one of those things, like, you can't help it, like, you're like, that guy's an asshole, but man, that's kind of funny, because this guy flew from all the way in Japan for 6 seconds of TV time, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's it. The whole bit. It's a running gag. And it's just like, it, you're almost waiting to see, like, can he continue to be this entertaining with other people? You know,
I hope.
It's kind of, I don't want to do this, but it is the only thing that makes sense. It kind of reminds me of when The Rock, before he was The Rock, he was Rocky Maivia, and then he transitioned into The Rock. Mm-hmm. It took a little bit for that heel character to get over, but like there was times where it was just like, he's a bad guy, he's a jerk, but that was like, his promo was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so it's one of those things where it's like, maybe that's what they're doing with Ricky, because Ricky has the gift of gab.
Oof, and charisma.
And he's a $1 million cool.
Yeah.
You know, he just has that vibe about him. He's just cool. And everything he says is very smooth. Yeah. He's a smooth talker. You know, he's a charmer. You know, so it's just like, I really, honestly, if you think about it, when it comes to Ricky Starks, heel or face, he probably is just going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, he's just one of those special performers that, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, you can still find a way to enjoy him one way or another.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing, is that he's so special, and the only thing he's held was the FTW championship.
Yeah, and he made that title pretty relevant, let's be real. So, it's one of those where it's like, do I get why they did it? No. Am I mad about it? Not really. I just see where it goes. Yeah. I mean, we've lately seen some heel turns that clearly are not working, Jungle Boy, but... we'll see what happens, but I'm excited to see whatever Ricky does, because, you know, he's going to do a very good job at it.
I agree.
And finally, funny how we started the questions with this and we ended the questions with this. So congrats to Chelsea and Sonya for winning the tag titles. Good for them, but how long do we see them holding those titles? I hope as long as possible. Like,
yeah.
They have to. Preferably longer than a week. That'd be great. That'd be ideal.
Yeah. I'd say the only downside is kind of what we mentioned earlier. There's not a lot of tag teams.
No. Believable tag teams.
So, yeah. So, like, how can they go, let's say, on a year-long run with those tag titles? You know, it would take a lot of mashing of teams together to give them some contenders, multiple rematch programs. There's a lot you would have to do that, but that's one thing that WWE is gonna have to figure out. For as good as they are right now, they still lack in some areas.
Yeah,
and one of those area as a whole is the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to have, like, it's the men are the same way. They have the single stars and they have the tag teams. So why don't you look at that scale and say, we have to replicate that same scale on the same amount of bodies, you know, for this to work? You know, let's just say altogether between tag teams and single stars, there's 50 men on the roster. Yeah. That means you should have 50 women on the roster if you're trying to replicate having single stars and a tag team division, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think WWE initially, when it came to the women's tag team titles, I don't think they thought that through when they made these things. But again, a lot of people don't realize is that WWE didn't even want to make these titles in the first place. No. Bayley and Sasha kept egging them on and nagging them and nagging them and nagging them, saying we want these titles, because they expected to go on a very, very long run with them. And for some reason that didn't happen, you know? So it's just weird. I'm hoping, because of the entertainment value that Chelsea and Sonya bring, that they do have a lengthy reign with it, but it's just going to have to figure out who to elevate, bring in more people to become a tag team. And that's another thing too. Very rarely do you see someone come into the business and you say, we want you to share the spotlight with a partner, and they're okay with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you got to check where you go at the door.
Yeah, because everybody comes in and they want to be a star, you know?
Yeah.
Very rarely has there been a star level tag team on the level of Ric Flair. Maybe the Road Warriors, yeah, you know? Like, yeah, that's just one exception. You know, tag team wrestling is like you said, it's very selfless ego. You got to share the spotlight with a partner, you know, and some people, yeah, make it work.
Yeah, some don't, but yeah, it's definitely, like I said, check your ego at the door, because if you don't get it to work, it's going to be blatantly obvious. But if you can get it to work, it can do wonders for your career, honestly, before you even go into a singles career. So yeah, I just hope this is finally the time. This is just finally the run that these titles need, because God knows they're on life support right now.
I agree.
Just give them a good power washing or something, or like cleanse them with holy water or something. Like save them, do something. Like get rid of the curse already, because we've dealt with it enough. It's like enough already.
That's the one thing I've said about these things since the beginning, is like I feel like these things are cursed. Like,
yeah, they really are.
Something happened where it's just like, all right, it's not working. Move it to somebody else. It's not working there. Move it to somebody else. It's just like, you're not going to win that game.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can kind of put it down to bad luck sometimes, but then I think you could also kind of put it down to, and we talked about this before too, where WWE sometimes jumps the gun a little bit, where if it's not an immediate success, oh, well, we have to change it. Oh, we don't have time to give it time. We have to get rid of it. It's just like, no, just give it some time. And like you can produce some good results can come out of it. You just have to be patient. And sometimes I just think they just don't waste time, I guess. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But hopefully this is one where they just take their time with it and properly do something with it, because God knows these titles need it.
I agree.
And with that, I think we did it. I think we're done.
All right. I think even though, like, for the past couple episodes, we've been going pretty hard with, like, episodes that are, like, 2.5 hours long. Yeah. I think this is obviously a change of pace, but a good change of pace.
Yeah. I think we needed the extra break, and I think our poor listeners needed an extra break so they can listen to this and not fall asleep because it's 2.5 hours long. But yeah, it was good. It was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like I said earlier, like podcasting, especially wrestling podcasting, is extremely difficult in the sense of trying to get people to at least check out what you have to offer.
Yeah.
Because there are a million wrestling podcasts and a bunch of them are very, very good. So it's like, it's kind of hard because like everybody has different opinions, but it's all about your delivery of your opinions and how you make your show interesting. And with this is episode 90. So after this episode, this is 10 episodes away from 100. We say it every week. It's mind blowing to us and to thank all of our loyal listeners, because again, this format is a little different from the format you see on other wrestling podcasts, where it's more they recap and give their opinions on what's been going on. We actually leave the doors open for you guys to dictate what you want to hear from us, in the sense that you can ask us a question and we'll give you our opinion on things. And for the most part, like, everybody seems to enjoy the way we do the show and our delivery and our opinions. We've never really had a bad interaction when it came to the show.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just because, like you said, we offer something new. Because if any of our listeners wanted to go watch, like, oh, well, I wonder what this person thought of Raw last night, they could go to literally 50 different, like, shows and get maybe not the same opinion, which, I mean, that's, like, the good thing, I guess. But it's more or less a fact of, well, I want to see what they thought of this, so I'm going to ask a question and they will talk about it. Not just, oh, well, I hope they talk about this. Because that sometimes happens too, where it's like, okay, well, maybe if I listen to a podcast and there's like, okay, let's put it back when, like, poor Shayna was getting put through creative hell. You knew they weren't going to probably talk about her. So I'm just like, okay, well, it would be nice if somebody would talk about her, like, anywhere. So that's kind of how this whole started, was that kind of instance where it's like, okay, well, I can only write about Shayna. Literally, this is pretty much how this started. Like, Shayna started this, at least for me, on my side, where you could only write about her so many times in so many different, like, words. Where after a while, it was just like, okay, there has to be a different way than just writing kind of, sort of, but not really the same article over and over again. So this is how it happened. And it's just nice to get to be able to talk about things besides just the obvious questions. I mean, obviously we do get the obvious questions if they're big enough, but we do like those extra questions where it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. I almost forgot that that was on the show. Or, oh wait, that I love those random questions that had nothing to do with wrestling this week in a nutshell anyway. It's just the ones that make us think. Like, I think it was Jax a couple, like, I think it was last week or the week before. It was like, what was your favorite, like, entrance theme for, like, or, like, your favorite theme song for a show, or what was your favorite set for a pay-per-view? It's just like, we like those kinds, because you're not going to hear that really on any other podcast unless it's a very specific type of question. So we like it. This is our favorite. That's why we do this, because it's fun, makes us think a little bit, and yeah, we get to do all the fun things with the listeners. We appreciate it.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Couldn't have put it better myself. So we thank you guys for listening to the show. Hopefully you continue and you subscribe to the show. This podcast is available all across the board on the internet, whether you listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Basically, however you found this podcast is probably through a platform. So make sure you hit that subscribe button if you need it on any of the major platforms like Spotify and Apple or Google, like I mentioned. Just send us a DM saying, hey, can I get a link on this platform? And one of us will send you a link to the platform of your choice on a silver platter. But the caveat is you have to give the silver platter back, because that's the only one that we have. So hit us up if you, yeah, it's one of one. So hit us up on social media to get a link to the podcast if you need it. We're available on Twitter and Instagram at the same handle. That handle is at Ringside Rundown. Again, that's at Ringside Rundown. We're available on Twitter and on Instagram if you want some cool wrestling pictures in your Instagram feed. Check us out. If you want to talk to me individually about wrestling, you can check out my daily opinions on anything wrestling at the Twitter handle at Wrestling Cron. Again, that's at Wrestling CHRON. Shay, where can I get in touch with you?
You can find me also on Twitter at Shailene Hickson 21. You'll get wrestling opinions, you'll get drag opinions, you'll get movie opinions, views, pretty much anything you can think of I probably have talked about or mentioned on my Twitter at least once. So it's a wild time, but it is what it is.
Yeah, so definitely check her out. Drop us a follow if you want to talk to us individually. Again, tell your friends, tell your family members, anybody that you enjoy wrestling with, let them know about the show and let them know that they can be a part of the show. You guys can ask us questions every week before we do an episode. The day before, I tweet up leaving the door open for you guys to send in questions via Twitter. But, you know, as soon as you log on, if you have a wrestling related question that you want us to answer on the show, just send us a reply or a DM, and we'll definitely do it for you, because we like to grow this little family that we've put together here at the Ringside Rundown.
Yeah, more the merrier.
Exactly. So for Shay Hickson, my name is Eric Vasquez. We are out of here. We will see you next time, ladies and gentlemen. Take care.
See you later, guys.